Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And welcome to the NXT 2.0 preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT 2.0. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review NXT 2.0, but also Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, AEW, baby. As well as pay-per-views, premium live events. Premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflett to look ahead to NXT 2.0 tonight, and a bit of a stacked show.
NXT 2.0 is good, actually. Is that what we're leading with at the moment?
Not good, actually. It's always been good.
Has the show been... Is it just, remember a few weeks ago, we were like, well, what are the trickle-down effects with Vince McMahon leaving and Triple H taking over? How does this impact NXT? Because obviously it felt like that was lifted from Triple H to make the 2.0 universe. And then we saw Triple H pre the Vince McMahon scandal sort of getting back involved. He said, I'm back. Like, and we were like, what are you doing? Have we found the platonic ideal of NXT 2.0 being really, really stupid, but Triple H now being too busy with Raw and SmackDown?
Potentially,
to
yeah.
To make it dull. I wasn't on last week's podcast. I was off last week because the system doesn't work. And I caught up with, once my kids were in bed, I caught up with like sort of bridged highlights of NXT. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole show. Was it just me or was it decent?
Yeah.
Because that was how it, I know there would obviously be, it's their YouTube channel. Of course it would behoove them to splice the best bits together, but I watched them. And then I found one of them slightly hooky, bah, 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 bah,
yeah,
which I don't like because it's up to basically the person making that video to decide whether or not they make a match look five stars or leave a glaring botch in. But I kind of, from between the two, I was able to piece together that this wasn't a piece of garbage.
No, it was really good last week. Zoe Stark seems great as a sort of number one contender in waiting. They've got the Saray match tonight with Mandy Rose. And yeah, just random Alundra Blaze appearance, Medusa. So it was great to see.
And really cute touch that.
And did you see, I haven't had a chance to really talk to you about this, did you see what they're calling the next NXT show?
No, we talked about this, should really fit a summer one in, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's called Heatwave. Tonight we've got the NXT Heatwave Summit between Bron Breakker and JD McDonagh. Mm-hmm. So that got me thinking, because we know they listen.
Of course.
This is from last week's preview.
Like, Halloween Havoc is in October, so I think they'll, like, sneak one in before then.
Summer?
Yeah.
You've got all these women that you love being like, look at them in bikinis. Do some summer-based thing.
What was the poolside?
Is that a Great American Bash?
Great American Bash! Like, so they use the pool party as an excuse for the Great American Bash. So, like,
call it Heat Wave.
They were at the frigging beach in March.
So
are you suggesting then that if whatever we say here is going to appear on television later on?
Potentially.
Talk me through what's in the main event again.
Okay, well, before we get to that, I think what should open the show, I've decided this, it's not already been advertised on WWE.com as opening the show, is the Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Tag Team titles. Of course, they are vacant right now. It was Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade.
Give me the lineup because I have questions.
Okay. I had the exact same questions following last week's show. It was one of the few points where I was like, what? You had basically Roxanne Perez with Alundra Blaze saying, you know, some more respect on these titles and to crown the new champions. We're not just going to, you know, give them to someone or whatever, despite the fact Toxic Attraction, we're like, we'll just have them if you want. No, we're going to compete for them. So you obviously have Toxic Attraction, Jesse Jane and Gigi Dolin, Katana Chance and Caden Carter.
Yep.
Ulyssa Leon and Valentina Feroz.
Yep.
And not Roxanne Perez, but Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley.
The Diamond Mine. Like,
yes, the apprentice and student. Was it teacher and apprentice?
They're kind of doing student teacher, but in that same way that, like, you know, anyone can suddenly be the Undertaker of that dressing room if you cobble together two big wins or something like that. And, like, Roxanne Perez and who?
Well, she's not in it.
That's not right, is it?
No.
That's a pretty, like,
I know she's going to have transitioned her off to feud with Cora Jade eventually.
Yeah. It's a bit of a hard sell for her to be seen as being absolutely fine with just being taken out of the running. Like, if anything, do you not give her a couple of weeks to find a partner, then have these women fight to be the number one contender? That would have been a fairer way, wouldn't it? But we're stuck with this, I guess. I like this match. Just all cynicism aside, I like this match. They are doing, it's not as effective a job as the Battle Royal was at presenting this division as way more whole than it actually is. Like, this women's division, suddenly, thanks to the Battle Royal, thanks to the apparent litany of new challengers from Mandy Rose, and indeed eight people in this Fatal 4-Way tag match, they are trying to show you that, oh, look, there's loads of people. We're tripping over people. If anything, we should probably have a secondary singles women's title to go along with our singles and tag belts. And I think they believe it, and I think that's the main thing. Like, they're selling it as if, like, this is a super hyper-competitive women's division, where I think they're kind of using a bit of a smoke and mirror show. But, and I apologise if I've forgotten the partner's name, Feroz and
Leon
have tended to shine in the very limited opportunities they've had. Could this be, like, the awesome upset moment akin to Inofi and Blade's first, like, win in the Dusty Cup or something like that? Nobody is looking at what they do. And because they've got all these high spots in the back pockets and these wicked double teams, is it not the sort of thing where, like, Toxic Attraction will be too arrogant to prepare for it, for example? Katana Chance and Caden Carter will keep coming up short.
They love to party.
They love partying so much that maybe it's time to get serious. And that, like, half-baked heel turn becomes a fully cooked one as a result of not winning.
Maybe, yeah.
So just, you can basically find a way for any team to lose this and win this, which is a good thing, I guess. There's suspense. But yeah, I'm kind of wondering if they just take the leap here and go with, like, especially not Toxic Attraction, because I think it's time for us to start thinking Mandy Rose is going to lose. And if you put the belts back on them, it feels like some sort of needless reset just to have done the Cora Jade turn.
Well, as well as that, you know, Roxanne Perez could make it into a Fatal 5-Way. And with that in mind,
it's time to play the game!
I've got the alumni. I've got Lunder Blaze on the show last week.
I mean, Zoe Stark would be perfect, would she not?
Yeah.
Would that be like an overlapping feud because her and Cora Jade have got business?
She's not in the alumni section of WWE.com.
Fair, right.
Now, Okay. Obviously, we're going to try and get a female tag team partner here. So when you say stop, I'll just name the first female in the WWE alumni section, and that will officially be our pick.
Right.
And quite possibly what happens tonight in terms of Roxanne Perez's partner for tonight's Fatal 5-Way for the tag team, the vacant tag women's tag titles.
So you're going to scroll until I tell you not to.
Yeah.
And we're looking for somebody with real girl power, aren't we?
Yes, please.
So stop right now. Thank you very much. Apart from Jerry Halliwell getting that picture with Nadine Dorris.
Oh, God.
Emma supposedly is really nice. Mel B's got good patter and Mel C's got that voice. Please fucking stop me. Here we go.
I can't believe that we've got this. Someone I regularly go to bat for. Someone who should be in the Hall of Fame. And hopefully,
oh my God,
off the back of this will, it will be Cora Jade and her tag team
partner.
Roxanne
Perez and her partner.
Sorry, yes. Roxanne Perez and her tag team partner, Victoria!
Oh my God!
Yes!
Legit good. Like, out of nowhere experience coming back.
It was between her and Vicky Guerrero, and I thought, well, Vicky's doing more managing stuff, and I think she's still with AEW.
She is. You've got to keep it realistic.
Yeah, Christ come on. Almighty.
I also have a prediction for this match, which isn't Victoria joining Roxanne Perez.
I think it's Chance and Carter winning it, by the way.
You think it's chance? Yeah, well, they've been sort of kicking around the tag team like for a long time, actually. Like one of the last, they must be some of the last remaining like holdovers from the Black and Gold NXT.
Yeah, and I think they could easily do it with the whole you hit your finish and then we'll just shove you out the ring and take the pin.
And that's how they win the belts, yeah. I don't think this is going to be wrapped in one match. I think we're going to get down to two teams and there's going to be some sort of
time limit draw,
jiggery pokery, some sort of something dodgy. And if not on this episode, it gets stretched to Heatwave. They do the thing where, and you're looking at me and it's like, no, I'm sure they'll wrap it. I put it to you that this will always be the brand that did it. There must be a winner. 4-man, 60-minute Iron Man match. And decided to try and buy themselves a main event for the following week.
I thought, felt so smug watching the end of that. I was like, here we go. 1, 2, timer runs out. Oh, you were so close. And what actually happened? 1, 2, 3. Well, it's a draw. What?
Hope you enjoyed your hour. See you next week. Okay, see you later. It's the pandemic. What else are you going to do, you fucking loser?
We'll come back for the men's tag team title match towards the end.
Okay.
Let's instead talk about Heatwave and this NXT Heatwave Summit that we've got tonight between Bron Breakker and JD McDonagh, who was doing his best American Psycho impression last week.
Yeah, he could do a hate wave, couldn't he? Which is, you're going to be waving goodbye to your NXT title. I didn't like that.
No?
Like, I don't know what your thoughts on that were, but I get the character. I get it 100%. He plays this guy that is like aloof and unbothered by things. But I know every bone in your body. And worse for you, I know how to break it. And it's just like, you're just fucking weird, mate. Like, I still kind of resent that WWE have gone to bat for this. Like, it's like, not that there should be like levels to this game.
No.
Like, but this is one of the ones that you're willing to risk the potential PR night for. This rubbish. Like, I know he can go. Like, I'm not suggesting that there aren't great matches at the end of this ugly, ugly rainbow. But I don't even see, if and when Bron Breakker beats him, I don't even see, like, how you shuffle him down the card. Mm. This character kind of has to, like, I'm going to rip every muscle clean off the bone. Your entire body is going to be bruised like Cody Rhodes' boob. Right? And then Bron Breakker beats him with a spear. And it's like, I guess I'll go and do it to somebody else then. It's like, well, you've kind of like, your message has been fundamentally and critically undermined.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like there's many places for this to go. So does he beat him? Like, that's my nervousness around. Does he actually beat Bron Breakker? Because Bron survived having the injured shoulder against Cameron Grimes, but was that where the rot set in and JD McDonagh has picked a spot?
Maybe. Yeah,
like, is that what they're going to do?
I feel like that's what he's going to target tonight. I don't think they're going to just sit down and have a chat.
Well, the greatest summit, bit of homework for people, the greatest summit in WWE history happened in 1993, and I learned a word as a result of it. So Randy Savage and Crush had problems over the summer, and they were set to make friends in the summit on Raw, and then Crush rocked up with Mr. Fuji, and the fix was in, and it turned out that he was about to turn heel and join up with Yokozuna and everything, and he dropped his best friend Randy Savage over the guardrail. Randy Savage, I'm assuming, bit into a condom and spat ketchup everywhere, but they said he had a lacerated tongue. And I felt that, because it's imagine that. Like, I would, you know, when you bite your tongue, Jim from The Office ain't wrong. Like, it's not the worst, but it's kind of the worst.
Yeah.
And I was like, he lacerated it. I was thinking it'd be like split like a snake's.
Yeah.
And it'd never be like sealed again. And like, they have that. That's the standard I expect tonight. I want to either learn a word. Maybe that's what it is. JD McDonagh is going to be like, oh, medical word you're after. Here's four of them. I want to see something so violent, and it's probably got to come from McDonagh Bron, that I actually believe a title change is in the offing, because I don't yet. I think this character is a cartoon.
I've got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
You've just given it to me there. So what was his big thing 2 weeks ago when he was talking to Bron Breakker? He had that mannequin, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was drawing on. I think they're going to be there, you know, usual setup, two nice chairs, big table. But JD is going to insist on having his mannequin there. Mm-hmm. He's got the arrows and, like, I'm going to separate this shoulder and do this to this muscle and what have you. Anyway, Bron Breakker gets fired up, loses his head, maybe grabs JD McDonagh by the collar.
Yeah.
And suddenly, surprise, bitch, the mannequin's an actual person. Jumps him.
Do you know what I thought you were going to say? I love that, by the way. The mannequin's an actual person. That's such a thing to say on the NXT 2.0. The mannequin's an actual person. Whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, Yeah, he beats Bron Down because the mannequin's a real person. Yeah, so it's 2-on-1, obviously. So him and the mannequin is a real person, beat Bron Down. And then he draws on him with a permanent marker. And it's so permanent, the next week Bron comes up and it's like, JD McDonough's drawn a target on him. Wait. Literally, it's right there. Like, he's been showering with a scour all week trying to get it off.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In terms of the women's champion, Mandy Rose obviously will presumably head towards Zoe Stark ahead of Heatwave. Mm. In the interim, though, she has got unfinished business with Saray, who is mint in the ring, and fingers crossed they'll work out that they don't need to do the bloody stupid schoolgirl gimmick with her anymore.
There are two ways this could be good. So if they do one of these, I think they're in good hands. Number one, Saray just gets the opportunity, basically, to try and bring the best out of herself and Mandy Rose at the same time. I'm not saying Mandy Rose needs to be carried at all. Far from it, in fact. But I don't think typically she's afforded, she's not as much as she would have used to have been, half the opponents that she could really do with, mm-hmm. not bring her along. It's almost like she was brought down to be this veteran figure and all of these like women would be able to like sit under the learning tree. And like, I like Mandy Rose a great deal, but she was not complete in her development on the main roster. She had the star power more than she had the in-ring. Saray, it's like so much of Saray has been kept back because of this ludicrous gimmick, a half-in, half-out push. They never really commit to her as one thing or another. So you could just get this little surprise banger.
Yeah.
Or Toxic Attraction Decker. And for, well, the third or fourth time recently, we've got this example of a match that is entirely centered around a body part. Because I really enjoyed Mandy Rose, Roxanne Perez.
Yeah.
If we're going back to it again, drawing a target. we get the marker pen. We draw a target on Saray. And what's... remind me, because I can't remember, what was it Zoe Stark was out with?
Oh.
Is it a knee? Leg stuff?
I think so. I'll double check.
Anyway, let's just say it's leg stuff. Toxic Attraction, before the match, targets Saray's leg. I'm sure she was like on a one giant cast for months or something like
that. Torn ACL and meniscus, yeah.
Right. So like, they chop block Saray backstage and then beat her down and then hammer her with a chair and then Zoe Stark chases them off and all that. But the damage is done. So Saray hobbles out to the ring and she can go, but she can't really go. And then Mandy Rose just zeroes in, beats her down. It's a great match as a result because you get this cool comeback spot, but the legs just can't support it. She goes for the basement
drop kick in the ropes.
She hurts her own leg because like she's in so much pain. Mandy wraps it up, gets the win, and then the whole point is I'm gonna re-tear your muscles.
Oh.
Like, look what I just did to her. This is what we're going to do to you at Heatwave. Like, you shouldn't have come back. We didn't have you on the agenda for my summer. Like, I had a lot of pool parties planned, and then you're suddenly making me wrestle and defend my title.
I love that.
And, like, you get this cool, not easy, but formula-following body part match, and it's, like, tied to the story of Zoe Stark's comeback. Because I love that comeback story, and I cannot call who wins that match either.
No, I mean, either. Like, I really like that as a setup as well, because this is kind of a straightforward match. Like you say, Mandy Rose is going to win.
Mm.
Having her use her as a sort of, yeah... It is already a warm-up match for Mandy Rose for the world title thing, but it should be effectively saying, like, this is what I'm going to do to you.
Yeah.
It's really, really good stuff. Speaking of targeting, it's tonight. It's tonight the night we see more of, excuse me, targeting Cameron Grimes. Sorry, targeting Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, I never know which one it's going to be now. I never know what kind of Cameron Grimes we're going to get when you finally reach the microphone. Yeah, it is. That's been the match from the off. Every week is another week where your dream stable just hasn't been formed yet. It's happening. Don't worry, it is happening.
Yes.
We're going to get to the fireworks factory sooner or later. I do wonder if that will make Heatwave, actually, because Joe Gacy, Cameron Grimes is... Now that's going to be the match, isn't it?
Rather than you have to join us as a stipulation, because they've just had that with Santos and blah, 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 why not have it be like, you have to come on a weekend retreat with us and they brainwash him, rather than it being like, you're part of the...
Cameron Grimes goes to get his phone, but like Rip Fowler's stolen it because LTST. They're really good at nicking people's stuff.
It did work.
I would like a little bit of sophistication. I know that's a big ask. I would like a little bit of sophistication with this story. Cameron Grimes cannot buy a win for love nor money, right? His dad looking on from the heavens is absolutely ashamed of him. That's what Joe Gacy's playing with. What if Cameron Grimes wins a competitive match, but against a babyface who is temporarily distracted by the jizzing, and then Joe Gacy's like, we were there for you, Cameron. And Cameron's like, maybe they were, I don't like the look of them, but maybe they were there for me. And then just for 5 minutes, it legitimizes, because they always forget that detail. Whenever you've got these heel groups, it's always like, come on, join us. And Cameron Grimes is like, well, why? Look at you, why? I watched the show, why?
I don't want a contact lens, thanks.
Yeah, What sell it to me. It's like you between the best friends of Blackpool Combat Club. Ask me to stay. Like, that would be thick. Why would I go with you when I could go with those guys? And they never think about the details. Like, you should probably join us, Cameron Grimes. Wow. It's like, middling win-loss record and possibly a title shot that you lose. I'm all right, thanks, actually. So, actually justify it.
Yeah, I like that.
Make Cameron Grimes, who is currently at this low ebb, which is when cults target, you know, the old sort of Dark Order, Hangman Page, original version, targeting people when they're at their absolute lowest, and Crisis is the only time I make that comparison, by the way. But they're doing that. Cameron Grimes feeling weak, but it's not just that, is it? It's not just he's weak. It's like, how do we look strong? So Cameron Grimes gets a win. You've got a million warm bodies over there that can have 10 great minutes with Cameron Grimes.
Yeah.
And then Gacy's on the platform, and Graham's like, what are you doing? What are you doing up there for? And it, like, Joe Gacy's going, I'm here for you, Cameron. I'm here to watch you. I'm here to help you. And then the jism in the meantime, Cameron doesn't even see it.
The dayheads
attack whoever the wrestler is. And Cameron just turns around and sees him a bit pro. And he's like, Kevin, bang, 1, 2, 3. And it's only when he watches the tape that he's like, they were up there for me. Maybe there's something to these guys. And like, try and legitimize the whole idea.
Give me something, yeah. Falls count anywhere tonight. I like the way that WWE have described this. They haven't said, like, who will emerge victorious. You know, this ongoing battle. They keep jumping each other, Solo Sikoa and Von Wagner. They've written, who survives Falls Count Anywhere? Which I suppose is applicable here, because they just can't wait to kick the crap out of each other. I'm kind of into this. I've got to say, I think they've built this really well.
Yeah, it was tongue-in-cheek, wasn't it, that week where they were also fighting on SmackDown. Solo Sikoa is fast becoming one of the more visible presences across WWE's output. If you have watched any sort of, and you know, we're kind of rewatching things before reviews, or we're just trying to grab images or whatever. This match has been quite heavily advertised on WWE's YouTube channel. I think there was an NXT advert on SummerSlam that ended with Solo Sikoa.
There was definitely one on Raw last night.
Doing the sort of, it's like that, kind of like a spin on that catchphrase and how he's going to deck Von Wagner and that. And everybody, understandably, sees a fast track for him on the main roster. An obvious one. Mm-hmm. You know, and I get it. I do get it. By way, dance contest. Yeah. I think he wins. And I think this is maybe the beginning of the end of his 2.0 run. He has never really won titles, but he gets this big, impassioned victory over Von Wagner. He has... Like, he finally gets next back.
Yeah.
And he has this little ripper with Carmelo Hayes. And he doesn't need to win, but, like, maybe that's that. You know, maybe, like, you run the Usos versus Hayes and Trick just because. Because remember, if you recall, that was the whole thing about, like, we're always watching. Oh, my God. Grayson Waller, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams versus Solo Sikoa and the Usos as an NXT 2.0 main event 1 week.
That's mad.
And then he loses to Carmelo Hayes on the way out. and up. I get the feeling that they've suddenly collectively seen something in him and thought, we can probably crack on with this.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody has to spin the wheels for the regimented amount of time on that show. Especially not now. Like, now that Triple H is there, and what's probably going to happen is you're going to see a version of the old NXT to main roster call-up system where the person getting called up isn't horribly botched from the off. Like, it's like, you know this... Hey, Vince, you know this network that's got everything that you produce? Yeah. Well, somebody on that network has gotten over for like 2 years. Like, sold out big buildings, your kind of buildings, right? And now we're giving them to you. Raw, SmackDown, every week. Do you want them? Did you listen to everything I just said? No, I forgot what you said.
What's the name?
Sammy? Zayn? Not sure. Walter? You read the Beano. Dennis batted him every week. We're changing that for starters.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like the... I think you're going to get... I don't think it's going to be the call-up system of all.
I've just been watching World War II in colour, and I've got some good ideas.
I don't think it's going to be the call-up system of all, because I don't think NXT 2.0 has got anywhere near the amount of established... Like, let's be honest, like, Triple H was signing fully ready people from PWG. Yeah. It wasn't, like, from the ground up. These next-in-line American footballers that are coming in. Your Lash Legends, who's, like, a super athlete, but she kind of go. Like, she needs training, but, like...
Tiffany Stratton.
And Tiffany Stratton, on the other hand, like, could be there quicker than most. And you just... You think that, I think now when somebody's coming up, they're coming up ready. And, like, Solo Sikoa looks pretty ready, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
So he wins tonight.
I'm inclined to agree, because I think you're right. With the closeness to Heatwave as well, you kind of need to establish.
Did I catch Von Wagner and Robert Stone falling out?
He didn't want to fight him. Well, he didn't want Von Wagner to fight him. He was like, we're not going to fight you. And he's
Robert
like,
Stone,
no,
the man that has never made a single good decision as a manager in 3 years or whatever it is.
It definitely wasn't good to eat before that match with Rhea Ripley. So maybe, yeah, maybe there's that. Maybe Robert Stone tries to help Von Wagner to show he's got heart.
And gets thrown in the bin because it's that next thing.
Well, I was thinking this. Are they going to, false count anywhere, they're obviously going to brawl all over the place. Mm-hmm. Where's Wendy?
No, my God.
Do you think they're going to stumble across her?
Yeah, I do like that, yeah.
I'm trying to think of where they could go.
Do you know what I think you should pin him? On the platform.
Oh, yeah.
Like they unconvincingly fight together all the way up there. And then he
probably... Robert Stone gets pushed off.
Yeah, obviously somebody has to. Like, to be eaten by the flesh-eating dyads. That's why Rip Fowler and Jaggery's eyes weren't funny, because they would, like, eat chunks of Bron Breakker's body
that
time.
Mate. Oh, do to you.
The Steiner in that.
Where are we going to see Wendy then tonight? Because I know she's getting ready to have one more go-around with Tiffany Stratton.
Is that still happening?
Oh, yeah, she had a dream last week and said it's not over.
It fucking is, mate. Well, it's not over. She's not wrong there. Like... They were getting so annoying with those two that it was starting to babyface Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton left that, like, whatever it was, that salon, and said, I'm not going to complain. I don't want somebody to lose their job. Wendy Chu, like, annoyingly threw toys at her and stuff. Like, if these two people are in your company, you're like, well, I want you to leave, please. You're annoying. You're annoying everybody at the party, Wendy. And if you're tired anyway, why don't you just get a good night's sleep?
So I think they're going to brawl into the back. I've decided with off the back of that. They're going to brawl into the back, into the gym area.
I was going to say woman's locker room. It's NXT 2.0. Yeah.
But Wendy's been working out to train for this rematch with Tiffany Stratton. But she's fallen asleep on the, I don't know, leg machine or something. I don't really go to the gym.
Do you think they can unconvincingly? Remember that time where all the Druids lined up to pass the belt to Joe Gacy.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if in the performance center, you line up all the treadmills in a perfect line, and then she falls asleep on the first one and just sleeps.
Okay,
all,
goes it.
Like, yeah, exactly that. Treadmills away all the way at the end. Like,
that's great.
And then she lands at the other side, and then the bump off the last treadmill kind of wakes her up a little bit.
Yeah.
What's going on? Is it sleeping?
The drink follows her. I love that. Right, let's talk about the main event then. We presume it's going to be the main event. The men's tag team title match. It is the Creed Brothers versus Tony D'Angelo and Sticks. Now, I'm optimistic but also nervous about this, because one of two things is going to happen. Yeah. Obviously, either Tony wins the belt or he doesn't, but also there's a Santos Escobar-shaped elephant in this room.
Yeah, so this would make sense to be the comeback week, wouldn't it? So last week, let me just... recall. It was the family versus the diamond mine in the battle of the two stables that might not be getting along. And we both said, I think, that the family needed the win because it's a bit like the Gacy thing. You've got to legitimize why any of this is occurring. And they did it. So they're cool now. Nothing can possibly go wrong within the family unless it does tonight when he makes the return. I think this is the opportune time to make the return and do the singles match at Heatwave where if and when Tony D loses, he has to surrender like control of Legado del Fantasma, and this is finally done and dusted. And we all kind of look back at the last 3 months and wonder why we lived our lives.
Yes.
Like, it's that sort of like wrestling, do a thing, undo the thing, but it got us through 3 months of television. It's not that great, I know. The only other, and I'll like open the floor to you here, there is still to me meat on the bone with Roderick Strong kind of revealing that he is sick and tired and not willing to take it anymore by costing the Creeds the tag belts. Like the Diamond Mine split could come in a lot of different ways, but that is sort of the most effective one. You know, what I would love tonight, you know, like if the family were to win the belts, and I would think that would be pretty great, I would love them to like hold the belts aloft with one hand and then just both flick a dime each with the other. Shout out across the bow, because real ones, I don't think of us as the Sidgwick, I'm sure would agree if he was here, real wrestling fans know that right now, old Two Dimes being held hostage. 12 months. Stick hanging around with those guys.
Come on home.
He comes on home. He floats up. He floats up against the riverbank. Hey, you're still alive.
Do you know what would be really funny and might change my opinion of what I think is going to happen? Because I agree. I think Santos Escobar is going to come back and cost him probably. Is if Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley won the women's tag titles. And it's like, anytime Roderick Strong's not involved, the Diamond Mine are really good.
That's great. Like, that is really good. And the build to Damon Kemp, like, having it, like, sort of what thingy Carmelo Hayes believes will just be a warm-up match. And it's like, I'll put the belt against you, you lose it. And then they tease that he's actually going to beat him. And, like, how hot it is, the Diamond Mine all draped in gold apart from Roddy Strong. And Roddy's getting so nervous that, like, he pulls Damon Kemp's leg accidentally on purpose. Yes. Just to, like, I cannot have everybody having a belt but me.
But, yeah, the my only hope is yes, that this is the catalyst for the, not the end of the Diamond Mine, but certainly the end of Roderick Strong's involvement with the Diamond Mine. Mm. And he intentionally slash unintentionally costs the team that he constantly bollocks to fight the fact they're the tag team champions. And I thought, I've got a little Tony D'Angelo predictor.
Okay.
You got one? Or you want me to just go straight into
it? Well, go straight to you. I ain't got much this week for the big man.
Obviously, if you've got Tony D on your show in the main event, you want to hype it up. And
Tony Numbers.
Yeah. Earlier on the night.
Not to be confused with the other Tony. You can't get the numbers on a Friday. How are you doing?
How are you doing? He wanted from Mr. and Mrs. How are you doing?
Rampage Pourquoi, Miz and Maurice.
So, earlier on in the night, you've seen the Creed brothers chucking around chains or something. You know, they just...
Creed training.
Yeah, whatever. And no Cruz del Toro, no Joaquin Wild, no Electra Lopez. Mm-hmm. This is just one-on-one. Tony D'Angelo sits down with Dex. He wants to have a quick word with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's written a little pep talk.
Of course he has.
Do you want to know how it goes?
I'd be rude not to ask.
I say pep talk, more song.
Tony D'Angelo's singing.
He says, thank you for coming, Stax. He says, oh, always believe in your tone. We've got the power, you know. We're indestructible. Always believe it. We'll win gold. Oh!
Oh! You know what? I do have a Tony D'Angelo predictor after all.
Go on.
Because I thought you were going in one direction and you went in the other. So I'm going to go in this direction. Tony D is going to sit down with Stax. Gonna sit down with Stax. Gonna be like, hey, I've been listening to some words from one of these guys' uncles, and Scott Steiner was right. There is two F's in Mafia because you can go f*** yourself, Diamond Mine.
Well, I think we've sufficiently booked NXT 2.0 again.
Another preview in the book. Dick. Check.
Let us know your thoughts ahead of 2.0 tonight on Twitter.
Oh, God.
At WhatCultureWWE. Hanfler, where can people find you?
Michael Hanfler.
You can find me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all. WhatCultureWWE. WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from.
You know what we never promote?
What?
You know what we never, ever promote, and I think this is an opportune time to do it. Michael Sidgwick did not just write the quintessential book on AEW.
Hey.
He also wrote the quintessential book on NXT. And to see some of your favourite 2.0 stars. Nowhere near a book. Check out Development Hell. Amazon. Or maybe even still on our website, but definitely on Amazon.
Yeah, it's great. Brilliant. It's a great read, that. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts, check out the Raw review if you want to know what on earth that
kind of doing callbacks to stuff that people might not listen to. Can you imagine as well? Like, there's got to be somebody out there that's like, not massively into the What Culture guys, but I like to keep abreast of NXT 2.0 and literally no one else covers it. So I'm sort of stuck with them. It's them a bust. My name's John. I'm one of them assholes that listens to Busted Open for some goddamn reason. But even they don't cover NXT 2.0. So for one day a week, I show up at What Culture and I get my Bully Ray fixed from those two assholes speaking in Italian-American accents. Otherwise, like Tony fucking Khan for some reason, I go to Busted Open with those goddamn guys. Tommy fucking Dreamer. Well, that other schmuck is. I'm sure they're nice guys.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're a bunch of guys. Guys. You all right? You're just not Tony D. We'll be back tomorrow with the review of this show. This has been the 2.0 preview. My thanks to Michael Hamlet. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.